The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to Breakfast Grill. We have with us today Dato Sri Jabasingam Isaac John, the CEO of East Coast Economic Region Development Council, or in short, ECERDC. Dato, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The ECERDC was set up in 2008 and achieved 111.6 billion ringgit investments last year. Share with us the impact and returns in terms of economic and jobs creation from this decade-long initiative.
Yeah. I think this investment that we have achieved in the East Coast over the last 10 years is significant, and it is really high impact. We set our goal for 2020, 110 billion, but we are very happy to report that by this year, by 2017, we have already achieved 111.6 billion ringgit of new investments into the East Coast. 46% is actually domestic investments, and the remaining is actually foreign direct investments. And this alone has created more than 150,000 jobs for the local community. And in addition to that, 30,000 new entrepreneur or business opportunities spin off from these investments, the trickling of the impact of these investments to the local business community. So that is actually a significant impact, both in terms of job creation and also business opportunities for the local people.
What is the percentage breakdown in terms of states when it comes to the allocation of the investments received?
Of this 111 billion, 60 billion is actually in Pahang, and about 30 billion in Terengganu, and the rest in Kelantan. And Mersing.
And also in Mersing, yeah. So now that you surpass your 110 billion investment target for 2020, are you setting a new goal for 2020?
Actually, we have completed our revision of the master plan. So we are ready to launch the master plan 2.0. So from 2018 to 2025, we have set a new target of additional 70 billion.
70 billion investments. Yeah,
so the total now we are looking at 180 billion by 2025.
Can you tell us more about this Master Plan 2.0?
The Master Plan 2.0 is more looking at a productivity-driven economy. So we are looking at Industry 4.0 and see how our new investments and our current investments will gear ourselves and preparing ourselves towards meeting the expectations of Industry 4.0.
So what industries are you looking at? I understand that the investments that are channeled into right now are mainly in manufacturing, tourism, oil and gas. You also have biotech, logistics and property. Yeah. So are you looking at any new industries given, or are you considering like moving up the value chain given that the business landscape has changed, as you mentioned, Industry 4.0? Yeah, so any new industries that you're looking
at? Actually, we are looking at logistics and trade facilitation. Because a lot of international trade agreements that Malaysia has with international partners. So we want to look at that for trade facilitation, improve the logistics capabilities, and also the internet broadband connectivity. So these are the areas that we are looking at in terms of moving the economy to a knowledge-based economy from a traditional manufacturing focus.
Okay, so from the earlier you shared that nearly half are foreign and local investors into ECERDC. So in this new Master Plan 2.0, do you foresee it being the same, or perhaps one day foreign investment might surpass local or local might surpass foreign?
Actually, that is not our priority. Actually, we want to give equal focus both for foreign direct investments as well as domestic investments. I think there is a lot of spare capacity. I think the capital market is large. And there's a lot of capacity for expansion of industries that are already present in Peninsula Malaysia who might want to diversify, expand their business, and take advantage of the new position of the East Coast in terms of the Kuantan Port, the East Coast Rail. So we're looking at these industries that might want to expand and then reinvest further industrial expansion in the East Coast. That is one group of companies we are looking at in terms of domestic investments. And then we also got domestically driven small entrepreneurs, SMEs, in the East Coast who want to expand. So that is also another focus area for us. So we will continue to see a balance between domestic and foreign direct investments. And we not only want to focus on large multinationals, but we also want to focus on the SMEs and the expansion of the SME industries.
China is one of the top investors into ECERGC, and there are concerns that we rely too heavily on them for foreign investments. Your comments on this?
I think we have to look at this professionally and on a competitive basis. You know, we want to expand our economy. We want to get high-value added industries into Malaysia. We want to create jobs for our local people. You know, we want to make sure that our graduates are fully employed. So these investments that are coming into the ECR, particularly from China, we have a very close monitoring mechanism. We work with the investors. And one of our understanding is nearly 80% of the operational phase will be, you know, for the local graduates and the local semi-skilled and skilled workers. So that is the basis on which we move on. Of course, maybe when they come in the first 1 to 3 years, they'll have a higher proportion of expatriates. That also would not exceed 30%, but ultimately it'll be reduced to 20%. And it's actually economically competitive for them to employ locals, because if you want to bring in expatriates from China, it'll be more expensive for them. It doesn't make business sense. So, you know, so sometimes we have to be careful on these analysis that is being made and all these negative impressions that are given. But actually, there is a monitoring mechanism. ECR closely monitors this. You know, even the approval of the expatriate positions goes through a committee where ECRDC chairs this committee. And we have members of the Home Ministry, Immigration, MITI, MIDA. So we sit together and we appraise this.
How large of an investment is China pumping into the East Coast in terms of percentage? I understand that there are other countries as well. Perhaps you can share maybe the top three, top five countries.
See, out of the 111 billion ringgit of investment that has come in, only 30 billion is Chinese investments. So then you can see, you know, a significant portion is still domestic as well as investments from other countries.
Which other countries are invested into the East Coast?
Actually, we focus on the Asia-Pacific, Korea, Japan, and we have also got investments from Europe, the States. So it is a mix. It is a mix group of investors who come into the East Coast.
There's also thoughts that, like, China is exporting industries that they do not want, such as the ones that pollute the environment. Your comments on that?
Actually, we are very careful in the selection of industries. For example, just now we had a brief on the Malaysia-China Kuantan Industrial Park. Alliance Steel is one of the first investor that is setting up. The steel plant that has been set up in Kuantan is one of the most modern, environmentally friendly in plants, maybe in this region or even the world, you know. So we are very particular about meeting environmental standards. So in this case, the company not only meets the local standards, but they have gone overboard to have higher standards.
How is it environmentally friendly?
No, basically the plant, the equipment, the technology that brings in. So these are all sustainable, environmentally friendly equipments.
What about the other industries that they are looking at? Are there further investments coming in from China? Do you know of?
Yes, we are, you know, looking at fertilizer. We are looking at tire manufacturing, aluminium processing, and also renewable technology, and also ICT, communication technology. And there are new areas that we are looking at now.
Yes. These are Chinese investors or as a whole, other investors as well?
Including the Chinese investors as well, yes.
So when do you think these investments will come in?
by 2020, we will have these 30 billion ringgit of new investments, mainly from China, under this One Belt, One Road initiative realized.
So there are no concerns that we rely too heavily on the Chinese?
I think it is a concern that, you know, doesn't merit its case, because these investors are closely monitored. We give them a package of incentives. When the package of incentives is given to them, they have got to have compliance. So, you know, there's a regular monitoring mechanism. ECRDC, together with MIDA and MITI, we monitor the progress. And I'm very happy to say that of the 111 billion ringgit, 52 billion is already realized. So that is a significant achievement in terms of realization.
I've been speaking to Dato' Sri Jayasingam Isaac John, ECERDC's Chief Executive Officer. After this, we'll take a look at ECERDC's plans and its investment outlook moving forward. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, and my guest today is Dato' Sri Jayasingam Isaac John, ECERDC's Chief Executive Officer. Dato' Sri, you are actually the man behind Putrajaya. You were behind the whole planning of the whole Putrajaya project. After that, you went on to work on ECERDC in 2006, and it was officially launched in 2008. Yeah. So this year will be the 10th year. How has the journey been?
Actually, the 10 years that we have been working on ECR has been challenging, but what's important is, you know, we were able to deliver what we were expected to deliver. And there was very good collaboration between the federal government and the respective four state governments. And I think that was the key to the success of achieving what we have achieved to date.
Could you share with us the progress of the ECERDC, perhaps some of the projects there, like the Alliance Steel project and, you know, the whole Malaysia-China Kuantan Industrial Park? How is that progressing?
The Malaysia-China Kuantan Park is progressing very well. And as mentioned, to date, there's already investment commitments close to 29 billion ringgit. And we expect this to be realized by 2020. So that would be significant. But what's most important is the East Coast is beyond the Malaysia-China Kuantan Industrial Park. In addition to the Malaysia-China Kuantan Industrial Park, we have got the Automotive Park in Pekan, the Halal Park in Gambang, and of course the petrochemical cluster in Gebeng, and also the petrochemical cluster in Kerteh. In Pasir Mas, Kelantan, we have the Halal Industrial Park. And then in Tok Bali, Kelantan, we have also got the development of the supply base for the oil and gas sector, as well as the development of the port and a new industrial park in Tok Bali.
So most of these parks are up and running already?
Most of these parks, actually, the infrastructure works have been completed. And most of these, at least 50% of the parks have already been taken up by investors. And by the turn of 2020, we expect to be reaching at least more than 90% occupancy in all these themed industrial parks. These are industrial parks developed with infrastructure and utilities. So the concept is a plug-and-play concept. So when the investors come, they just have to set up their plant and begin operations.
So coming back to this Malaysia-China Kuantan Industrial Park, originally the plan was over 1,000 acres. That has expanded to 3,000 over
yes,
acres.
Yes.
So could you share a bit about that, like Alliance Steel? So that's going to be launching soon in March, am I correct?
Alliance Steel is under very advanced construction. To date, it has reached more than 80%. And by March, it is expected to fully begin operations. So in addition to that, you know, the investments in the porcelain, investments in the fertilizer, and also the investments in the tire industries, and also the catalysts for petroleum products. So, and the refinery, there's also a refinery project in the Kuantan port, and all these are expected to take off by the middle of this year.
Moving forward, the implementation of high-impact public infrastructure projects such as the Kuantan Port expansion, East Coast Expressway Phase 3, and the East Coast Rail Line will play a big role in the East Coast. When do you foresee this these projects completing, and what is the economic impact of these projects?
Firstly, let me cover the Kuantan Port. The Kuantan Port is under very advanced construction, and by the middle of this year, it will be a fully operational deep water terminal. So, which means the Kuantan Port is ready to accept Capesize vessels up to 200 deadweight tons or more. So that means, Kuantan Port will be a hub. I consider the Kuantan Port as the Rotterdam of the East. And, so that will be the gateway to ASEAN and Asia Pacific. And in addition to that, the East Coast Rail construction has commenced. And by 2024, the East Coast Rail is scheduled to complete. And the East Coast Rail, again, will be a game changer. The bulk of the East Coast Rail will be for industries. 70% of the load will be freight. 30% will be passengers. So the connectivity from Port Klang to Kuantan Port and from Kuantan Port to the Thai border in Pangkalan Kubo. So that will be a very significant contribution. And based on our feasibility studies that we have done to date, the East Coast Rail alone will contribute to be some 1.5% of the total GDP of the East Coast. So that is significant. So in addition to that, these new investments that we have brought to date, I did mention 52% of the 111 billion is realized. That again has contributed about 1.8% to the GDP of the East Coast. So we are on track with the government's mission to correct the regional imbalance. At the moment, the focus is more on the West Coast. So with this strategic infrastructure, the Kuantan Port, the East Coast Rail, and all the other private investment that is coming into the East Coast, we hope to achieve a GDP growth rate for the region of at least at 6% GDP growth rate. So at least the regional imbalance will be corrected. And it will be a new strategic investment destination for investors.
There were reports that raised questions on the cost of the East Coast Rail Link project, that it might balloon up to about 60 billion to 70 billion ringgit. This is some like 30 billion ringgit more than the project's original estimated cost. Any truth to this and your comments on this?
The project cost to date, as announced, is 55 billion ringgit. Of course, the original estimate of 30 billion was based on an exchange rate. At that time, it was 1:3. To date, the exchange rate is 1:4. So that alone has contributed to about some 15 billion ringgit in cost increase. So that comes to 45 billion ringgit. The original estimate did not include the Gombak line to Port Klang. So that is a new addition. So that again is another 10 billion. So that is how we arrive at the 55 billion ringgit current cost. So it is not correct to say that the cost has been inflated. So the scope has increased. So it's because of the scope increase and number two, the exchange rate revisions. So that is what has contributed to the escalation in cost vis-a-vis the original 30B to the current 55B.
So is 55B a hard stop or do you expect that to potentially increase further?
Based on the current estimates, it is at 55 billion.
It will be at 55 billion. Okay, there are also some thoughts, schools of thoughts that say that the East Coast Rail Link is one of the most expensive projects. How much is it per km, the cost?
Actually, I don't have the details of the per kilometer cost, mm-hmm. but we must understand that there is a 17 kilometer tunnel that from Bentong to Gombak, and there are a lot of elevated line for the railway line. In addition to the number of bridges, so based on those analyses, so the cost is considered fair and reasonable.
Okay, so you don't think it's expensive?
It is an expensive infrastructure, yes. But this is something we need to do so that we can correct the regional imbalance in the East Coast.
Speaking about regional imbalance, what about rural-urban integration? What are you doing about that?
See, we are not only focusing on the main urban centres. The main urban centres are Kuantan, Kuala Terengganu, Kota Baru, and of course, Mersing. In addition to that, for rural-urban integration, we're also focusing on the smaller towns. For example, Gua Musang, Tok Bali in Kelantan. And then in the case of Pahang, we focus on the West Pahang and Central Pahang, which covering Temerloh, Mentakap, Rau, Lipis. So there is a balance in terms of the spatial spread. So there is integration between both urban and rural areas. And we are actually seeing the spread of not only government investment in terms of infrastructure, but also private investments that is taking place in these smaller towns.
Earlier you mentioned about the position of East Coast. It's quite central in a way. So what are you doing in terms of positioning the East Coast globally, not just in Malaysia, but where do you see the East Coast in the global setting?
The East Coast is seen as the gateway to ASEAN, a gateway to the Asia-Pacific. So that is the global positioning. So if you have an investment in the East Coast, particularly in the Kuantan conurbation, your access to market is the $20 trillion US dollar market in the entire Asia-Pacific region. So that is how globally we position the East Coast.
But if companies come in here, what are you doing to help these companies tap into that?
Basically, the logistics and other facilitation through the Kuantan port. So Kuantan port will be the gateway for the market access.
So when will it be all systems go for the Kuantan port and all these other...
By middle...
Here you said the East Coast Rail will be 2024. The Kuantan port?
Kuantan port will be by middle of this year.
So it seems like you're on track for
On track, on track.
I've been speaking to Dato' Sri Jabasingam Isaac John. Dato', thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.